Thankful to be in Holly Hill again. Thankful to serve such a great and mighty God. Ask for your prayers this morning, Lord, to bless His Word. Make it an encouragement and a challenge to us. I'd like to talk to us this morning, by the help of the Lord, about the danger of small things. I'd like to begin in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, the Lord has given us the picture here that we are to be trees of righteousness, that we are to be in the midst of a land that is barren, is desolate, that doesn't sustain life. We look around in our world today, and when it comes to morality and righteousness, it's a wilderness. It's a barren land. There's a lack of it in our halls of Congress and the branches of government. We see it in our school systems. We see it all across our land and what's being promoted and what's being lived out in lives. And it's not just, we can't point to one leader or one judge or nine judges and put the blame all on them, but it's an indication of the hearts of men. It's an indication of where our nation is today. An indication of the moral depravity of the place that our people have gotten into and the condition of hearts. You know, it's a barren land, a wilderness, a parched land that doesn't sustain life. But yet in the very midst of that, you know, we're not called to just back off in our little corner somewhere. We're not called to just try to barely hold on long enough, just barely have enough life to be able to make it through. Do you know the Lord? Jesus said that I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Folks, I'm thankful that this salvation is not just a survival mode salvation. I'm thankful that the Lord has the grace to sustain and keep us in the midst of this present evil world. The grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us how we are to live godly in this present world. You know, the Lord is still looking for trees of righteousness today to be planted right where the Lord has planted us, in our life, in our sphere of influence, on our job, at our school, in our community, in our families, that we are to be trees of righteousness. Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Isaiah chapter 61, familiar prophecy of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. You know, this is the work that the Lord has come to do, the great plan of salvation, that He'll take ashes and from that He'll build something of substance and of lasting value in our lives. He can take heaviness, He can take grief and sorrow and brokenness, and He can restore and make something beautiful out of it. Isn't that just like our God? Do you believe He's still doing it today? You believe the Lord still in 2016 is able to do it? I do, and I believe that He is. Believe that the Lord still has a people and is still calling for a people that will be the planting of the Lord. Folks, the Lord wants to plant us in our lives, where we are. He wants us to be rooted and grounded and established. That we have some roots that spread out and find some water. You know, the Lord is not just calling us to be dead wood. The Lord's not calling us to be an ornamental fruit tree. The Lord's calling us to be a tree that bears fruit unto Him. He said that the Lord might be glorified. You know, there's something about a tree that's growing in the middle of a desert that makes folks say, how's it doing that? How's it doing that in the midst of... And usually it's an indication. Driving out across the desert or an arid area and you see a bunch of trees, you know there's got to be water nearby. There's got to be something there that if I go and look and I'll find something there that is refreshing. Believe the world today in the midst of their darkness, deception. You know, I believe there are still some souls that are hungering for that that's wholesome, for that that is sound in their lives, for something that's not just full of emptiness and deceit and vanity, to be able to look on some lives of those that they encounter and see something that even in the midst of hardship, it didn't say that this tree was planted in a place that it didn't see any drought or heat. But it said it will not see when the heat does come. Whenever the heat comes and whenever the drought comes, whenever all around, the Scripture talks about there being a famine of hearing the Word of the Lord. Whenever we're in the midst of famine time in our world today, whenever people aren't hearing the Word of the Lord, you know, He still wants us to be flourishing trees of righteousness. Right here in Holly Hill, South Carolina, the Lord is calling for there to be trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that man may be able to look on it. It was what Jesus said, that you men may see your good works and glorify you. What a Christian you are, what strength you have, or what resolve, or you're such a fighter. But that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not the work of men. This is the grace that is within is not mine, one song says. You know, the world will be able to see and take note of the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit that's evidenced in our lives, in our conduct, in the way we conduct business with those that we encounter. Psalms 92. Bear with us a little bit. You may be asking, what does this have to do with our subject? 92nd chapter of Psalms. Twelfth verse says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To shew that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. So what we've read so far tells me it's not contingent on the conditions. It's not contingent on, well, if only I was planted somewhere else. If only the circumstances of my family were different. If only the situation on my job was different. If I didn't have to deal with this individual, I could have patience. I could have grace. I could be able to exhibit these things if it wasn't where I'm planted. If it's not the place that I'm in. But it says no matter when the heat comes, when the drought comes, the tree that the Lord plants is still finding water. It's still finding that source of life, that source of grace that it's able to tap into. And it's still able to bear forth the leaves and the fruit even in the hottest times of drought. Doesn't matter about being in the prime of life. You know, I can look and maybe as a young man I could say, whenever I get older, or I can look at some of the older saints and say, you know, I'll get to that place too where I'll have faith in God. Where I can be able to show others in the world that I have faith. I'm just not there yet. Or maybe I could look on others, or maybe those that get into the older time of life. What can I do? What am I still able to do? Do you know you still have a calling? You still have a place and a responsibility to bear fruit to those that are looking on. It said, even in old age, they'll still flourish and prosper. I enjoy trees. Whenever we bought the place that we live now, Dayton, Ohio, one of the things that sold us on it was we had a lot of mature trees in the back. Seemed like some of the places you go, maybe a new development or new area, they don't have many trees, or maybe they just planted a few and they're saplings and they're not of full growth. But this had 60, 70 plus foot trees in the yard and gave shade and it gave privacy, and I've enjoyed that. We really liked the look of it and decided this was the place for us. But I began to notice something of the trees that were in our yard. Many of them were ash trees. And again, very tall trees, very large, massive, beautiful to look on. They provided a lot of the shade and the appeal, I thought, of our yard. But I began to notice, and when we bought it, one or two of them were dead. Still looked like they were healthy trees. They didn't look like they were rotting or decaying, but yet their leaves were starting to drop. They weren't bringing forth leaves, and it looked like there was something wrong with them, that they were dying. So I had to cut a few of them down. Next year and the years following, I kept having to cut more and more of our ash trees down. Well, I had heard what the problem was. A little bug, maybe about this long. An emerald ash borer that has infested parts. I believe it began in Michigan. It spread to Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and I don't know how widespread it is. But this little bug about this long. Folks, the danger of small things. You know, a tree that's been planted, that's beautiful to look on, that's strong, that's tall, that's massive, that I could look on that and think I'm going to enjoy that for years to come. Nothing to worry about this tree. You know, you've got to watch the small things, because those little emerald ash borers are attracted to the ash tree. I don't know how they do it or how they pick out an ash tree from any of the others. But they can find that ash tree and they bore their way through the bark. And they get in behind the bark and they begin weaving little pathways as they feed behind the bark. Some of the trees that have died, the bark has fallen off, and I've seen these little pathways all covered over the surface of the tree where those bugs have gotten in, and they've eaten their way all the way around that bark. They don't dig their way all the way into the tree, but they're able to find their way in past what is supposed to be the protective layer, the bark of the tree. And they're able, by cutting those little paths between the tree and the bark, they cut off the water source and the nutrient source of the tree. From what I understand of the history of these bugs, they're not native to North America. They come from Russia, northern China, Korea, Japan. They believe how they got to the United States was they found their way into some shipping crates that were being shipped over with goods that were being shipped to the United States. No one in the United States invited these little critters in. Nobody issued a passport or a visa for them to be able to enter, but they found a way to get in. They found a way by piggybacking, if you will, onto something else that was being shipped and brought into the United States. You know, it seems like a very small thing. Seems like something that's so harmless. If you were to see one of those little critters crawling out of a shipping crate, probably wouldn't think a whole lot of it. But you know, those things got out. They began to spread. They began to repopulate. Nobody noticed anything for about 10 to 12 years. And then they began seeing one tree after another drop their leaves. One tree after another that began to die off. And it wasn't long, just a matter of years, before entire forests were being taken out by this one little bug that had infested the United States. You know, folks, we've been called to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, we better be on guard Because the enemy has a plan and an avenue to try to get to every one of us. And it may not be overnight. It may not be something that the enemy knows that he'll be able to bowl me over overnight, so to speak. But I want to tell you, the enemy has a plan. The enemy has some very small things that he can introduce in that are foreign to the kingdom of God. They're foreign to righteousness. They're foreign to the Spirit of God. I can look at those kind of things and think it's harmless. It's something small, but you know what the enemy wants to do with a little bit of time? That thing began to find its way into my heart. And it begins to work over time to cut me away and isolate me from the very source of my spiritual life. Oh, folks, there are so many things in our world today that are vying for, that are trying to starve us spiritually. We live in a land of plenty. Temporally and spiritually, we have available to every one of us Bibles, commentaries. Go online and listen to messages or look up articles or Faith and Victories. But yeah, there's a famine in our land. There's spiritual starvation all around us. You know, if I'm not careful, it'll begin to affect me. If I'm not careful, there's something that'll find its way into my heart and into my life. I'd like to look at the 30th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. I'd like to look at the 28th verse. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. I've had the opportunity different times to go through palaces, castles in Europe. One that I was most recently in was in Scotland. And I looked and it was on the very top of a cliff. There were the just sheer face of the cliff that was maybe 100 feet tall. There's almost no way to penetrate it. There's almost no way if you could somehow climb to the top of that cliff, you'd have to climb in over a massive wall that they had erected. You know, they built the thing for defense. That was the objective. It was the purpose of it, that no enemy would be able to get in to the castle. The palaces are guarded. Some of them had moats that were around it. Many of them, or all of them, were heavily guarded. People that were watching and guarding the wall to prevent the enemy from coming in. But you know, this says here that a spider is able to do what an army couldn't. A spider is able to take hold with her hands and find her way in to the king's palace. Whereas an army that would come with weapons and armor, knocking at the door and pounding and demanding in, wouldn't be granted access. But something that seems so small and so harmless is able to find its way in almost unnoticed. Do we have some spiders in our lives? Places that I'm looking for the big things in my life. I don't see anything. I'm not going to go out and commit sin, so to speak. I'm not going to go out into the world. I'm a saint. I'm living for the Lord. I know better than to go do those things. I know better than to go to some of those places that the world is going to partake of the things that they're partaking of. But you know, the enemy is able to take a tree down, or a tree is able to come down by more than just cutting it down with an axe or a chainsaw. Given time and a little bug, he can do the same thing. You know, in our lives, the enemy has small things that he'll try to introduce that'll find their way into our lives and into our hearts so small that it goes unnoticed. So small that if I'm not very watchful, prayerful, and careful in my life, I won't even take notice of it. It's so small. That thing can't do anything to me. I can control that thing. Who can't control a little bug? We're in the process of moving to another house. As part of the inspection of that house that we're moving to, I wanted to go through with a home inspector and make sure that everything is sound and no significant issues before I buy the house. One of the things that he pointed out and noticed, the house is 165 years old, I believe. As he was down in the basement, he was looking up at some of the floor joists. And he said, come look at this. And he showed me, he took that floor joist that was solid wood, and he squeezed it with his finger, and powder fell to the floor. What he called, if I can remember what it was, it was a beetle, a wood post beetle or something like that, that they call this little beetle that's able to go in. It's a wood-boring insect, similar to termites, but this little creature that's a 32nd of an inch long and up to one quarter of an inch is able to go in, and it seeks out wood, and it bores its way into the wood and begins an all-you-can-eat buffet. And it had begun doing this in some of the floor joists of this house, so that over time, he was able to eat so much of that floor joist that you could take with your fingers and just cause it to crumble. A 32nd of an inch? Something that is that small could cause damage to a house. Thankfully, this was caught before it spread, and it was very isolated areas. But you know, if something like that goes untreated, if something like that is continued to spread, it'll continue to work its way through the floor joists, through the walls, through the rafters, and there will come a point, the wind blows and the house comes down by a 32nd of an inch bug. I hope we understand this morning the burden that the enemy would like by any means he can to destroy our spiritual house, to destroy our tree, so to speak. Those emerald ash borers don't notice it immediately. It wasn't something that they were introduced in the shipping crates and the next day the trees were laying on their side. It was something that over 10 to 12 years was working unnoticed. You know, it always starts from the inside out. The enemy many times will work his way into the heart. Maybe the saints around me have no idea what's going on inside. And if I'm not walking close to the Lord, I may not have any idea what's going on inside. Where the enemy is beginning to work, where he's beginning to cut me away from my life source, where my walk with the Lord isn't what it used to be. My prayer life's not what it used to be. I'm not drawing strength from the Lord like I need to from day to day. You know, the enemy will go out. It's what he does whenever he besieges a city. Read about it in the Bible of times the cities were besieged when the enemy would come and encircle the city and just wait. Wasn't necessarily attacking yet. Just besieged the city so that no supplies could come into the city. You know, you do that long enough and the people will starve. You do that long enough and there will be no food left. You believe the enemy has tactics to try to do the same thing with us spiritually? The enemy will have ways to try to draw our affections to something else. To try to bring things into our lives that I introduce into my life and into my heart that cuts down the flow of the spiritual food that I need. The spiritual supplies, the only thing that's going to sustain my life. Folks, we're not a self-sustaining people. We're not able to make it through life on our own. We have to be able to have that source of water, of nutrients, to be able to draw it from the ground. It's the secret of the tree that flourishes. That its roots go down. You read about the man in the first chapter of Psalms that will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. The roots spread out. It's able to draw water and strength. But if there's something that isolates that tree from the source of water and nutrients, it'll be a matter of time until it falls. Sometimes people get into places in their life and their walk with the Lord. They say, why am I so weak? How did I get here? How did I fall? Why am I struggling with these things I'm struggling with? I don't know how I've gotten to this place that I've gotten to. Many times if you talk to someone like that, or in my own life that I've gotten into places that I'm struggling, Lord, I just don't have the strength that I need to have. I can look back and see where the enemy has been assaulting my time. My time with the Lord, or He's been distracting me. I haven't been as fervent. I haven't been as diligent as I need to be to make sure I'm taking care of the needs of my soul. You know, when that happens, I may be able to go okay for a little while. I may be able to make it for a little while, but it's just a matter of time until I fall. It's just a matter of time, and the enemy, just like the army that's encamped around the city, I'll just give it a little time. I know they're not getting the food and the nourishment they need. Their resolve will begin to falter. Their strength will begin to fail them. They're going to get hungry. And then we move in and we pounce when they're at their weakest. The enemy has no chance against a saint of God that's walking close to the Lord. And so if he can get us into a place that he isolates us from the source of our strength, he'll pounce when we're at our weakest. Jesus warned of leaven. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They understood then that he was speaking not of bread, but he was speaking of the doctrine of the Pharisees. I want to consider a few of these little things. Attitudes. You know, attitudes we can look at and think, it's almost harmless. Everybody has an attitude from time to time. Oh, I can't help it. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm looking at this or the way that I'm feeling. I'm justified in the way that I feel about my brother, about this situation or about that situation. You know, an attitude is many times uninvited, but it has a way of working its way in if we're not careful. Like these insects that found their way in and began to work. If we're not careful, little attitudes toward our brother in the congregation, towards the minister, towards the Word of God as it's coming forth, towards others, and beginning to have suspicions and doubts in my mind of what are they thinking, and all of these kind of things where the enemy is planting something that maybe if I control it and nip it in the bud today, I can take care of it. But you let that thing go on for a while. You let something that begins as a suspicion, as a little bit of a doubt or a thought or an attitude, begin to let that thing continue to work, and it'll work its way around and around and around. And it'll become bitterness, and it'll become unforgiveness, and it'll cut off our life source. And we'll get to the place that we're not able to bear fruit. And we'll be a tree. Maybe it's still standing, but the limbs are starting to break and fall off. There's no leaves anymore. I don't want to be a tree like that. I don't want to be a has-been tree. I don't want to be one that used to be a beautiful tree that had leaves and bore fruit, but now you look at it and it's just a bare, lifeless tree. You know, if we're not careful, that can happen to any of us. It doesn't matter how long I've been saved. It doesn't matter how strong I think I am. If I'm not careful, and if I'm not on my guard, and I'm not watching, the enemy will introduce some of these little attitudes. One day we came home from service, walked into the house and one of the rooms upstairs, and there were bugs all over the floor. And I thought, I'd never seen anything like it. I thought, what is this? So we took it and we started vacuuming them up. At first, most of them were dead. We got to thinking, you know, I wonder if those are termites. So we called an extermination company and they came out and they verified and said, sure enough, you have termites. So that is an alarming thing to hear because of what a termite can do to houses. So we said, we want you to come out and do a full inspection and treat the house and so forth. So they did, and they did a full inspection, and they said, thankfully, it looks like they just found their way in the house. It doesn't look like they've been able to nest anywhere in the house, so you can catch it now pretty easily. So we began to treat it and take care of it. Our thoughts. You know, we may not have any control over the thoughts that try to fly into my mind. I may not have any control over the things that the enemy tries to bring to my mind, but I have control over what I do with it. I have control over how I respond to that thing. Am I going to just say, oh, it's harmless? They can't do anything. There's nothing there. I'll just go ahead and sweep these up and throw them in the trash can before anybody sees it. If we don't treat it, if we don't take care of it, you know, something that starts as a small thought, if left untreated, if it's not of the Lord, can grow just like the leaven, can grow into something greater that begins to work under the surface, begins to work where nobody else is able to see. You could have driven up to my house if the termites had continued on and started eating. You wouldn't know a thing by looking on the outside. But underneath the surface, where nobody else could see, termites could have been at work. How about our lives? Underneath the surface where nobody can see. Underneath the surface that folks, when I go to service, don't see. Would maybe have no idea the thoughts that I've been harboring. The feelings that I've been allowing to live in my heart, in my life. The resentments, the bitterness, the things that the desires that I've allowed into my heart, the things I've allowed my heart to start going out after. It can start very small. It can start as something that seems very harmless, but if left untreated, can destroy our spiritual house. I would this morning that we examine my heart, my life, my thoughts. What have they been? How have my attitudes been? Is there something that's been at work in my life? Because you see, it's easy to be like the ones that are in the palaces. I'm looking for the big enemies. I'm looking for the things that are coming up with sword and chariot and spears, and they're the ones I'm guarding. Meanwhile, the spiders are coming past, and I'm paying them no mind because I'm looking for the big things. We can sometimes think in our lives, the big things that come my way, that's when I turn to the Lord. Lord, I can't handle this one. Lord, I'm helpless in this situation. That's a good place to be, to realize how helpless I am. You know, if we're not careful, the little things, I'll think I've got this one. I can handle this one. This is no big deal. Maybe I don't even turn to the Lord for it. Remember what Scripture and Song of Solomon, the second chapter in the 15th verse says? Let us take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. For our vines have tender grapes. Folks, we have something valuable. Something so valuable. My soul is continually in my hand. I don't want to allow the enemy to come along and destroy the most precious fruit that the Lord has brought forth in my life. The things that the Lord wants to yield of righteousness, of peace, of godliness. Something that I can be a tree that grows up. The planting of the Lord. Scripture in Psalms, in one place, it talks about of the olive tree that their children shall be as olive plants around their table. You know, I want to be a healthy tree. Spiritually, I want to be a healthy tree. What does a healthy tree do? It grows up. It brings forth seed of whatever manner that tree is. And it scatters the seed. The seed germinates and it grows up into another tree of the same likeness. You know, my children are around my table today. And I have such a great responsibility in what I am presenting to them. Of the seeds that are being distributed from my life. What are they seeing? What's being planted in their young hearts? Is it something that's going to grow up into the same image of God that I've been allowing the Lord to plant in my life? You know how easily attitudes can be planted into children's hearts? Without even saying, hey child, I don't want you to like that person. I want you to look suspiciously at this brother at church. You don't have to. Your attitude will teach the same thing. Our attitudes and the way we approach our life, the things that they behold in our lives, it's growing. It's scattering seed from our lives. Whether we have children at home or whether it's those that are around us, do we want... You know, we're all called to do the work of the Lord. Every one of us are called to be fruit bearers. To bear forth... You say, oh, that's not much. Yes, it is. You know how few trees of righteousness there are in our world today? Do you realize the difference that one tree can make? One tree that's healthy and bringing forth fruit and scattering it can grow 100 trees in its place. But not if the emerald ash borer gets it. Not if it dies before its time. Lord, help us. That we be faithful where we are planted. That we be faithful in the place that we are. Lord, I want to be a tree of righteousness. I want to be faithful. I want to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. I never can know the difference that it's going to make in my children's life, the grandchildren's life, the neighbors that are looking on. Scripture says that it would glorify God. That this planting of the Lord that's flourishing as the Lord designed for it to flourish would be a glory to Him. False doctrine. Jesus likened it unto leaven. You know, there are little things. There are little places that I can think this is just a small adjustment. It's just a small tweak to the Scriptures. The majority of people in Christianity say it's not a problem. They accept it nowadays. We're of such a minority in the way we believe about this. Let's make a few adjustments here. Let's allow a little bit, folks. I want to remind you of the danger of small things. I want to remind you of the danger that a small little insect that I allow to work its way in, that's foreign to godliness, foreign to holiness, foreign to what the Lord would try to work and bring forth in my life. You know, I can try so hard. Lord, I want to be the planting of the Lord. I want godliness to reign in my life, in my words, in my actions, in my attitudes, in the things that my children and those around me see. But do you know how one story accounts of the city of Troy being overtaken? By a Trojan horse. By something that looked so innocent. Didn't resemble the enemy at all. In fact, it resembled a war trophy that was left as a trophy of peace. And the enemy went away. All except about 30 of them that were up inside that Trojan horse. And so the horse was brought in, and by night those people escaped out of the horse, opened the gates to the enemy that had just gone out of sight and was on their way back to overcome the city. Folks, the enemy will try anything he can. The enemy will try maybe to get us to go out and sin. But you know, if that doesn't work, he's going to try right here while we're sitting in the congregation. He'll try right here where I'm at to work his way into my life. And it can be something that I say looks so innocent. Maybe I'm trying to portray godliness and teach my children, but yet I'll bring something into my home that Hollywood produces that teaches something completely contrary to that. And it starts out so innocent. I'm going to tell you, it starts out with the cartoons. It may say, oh, it's so innocent. But you can look at that with an objective and an honest heart and see places. That there are innuendos. That there are suggestions. That there are things that are beginning to be introduced to a child's mind. You say, come on. That's so petty. Folks, I want to remind you again, the burden this morning, petty things destroy trees and destroy homes. The Lord wants us to be on our guard, to be the guardian of my heart, the guardian of my home, the guardians of our congregations, that we not allow places into our lives or home to come in that the enemy could be able to work through. Could be able, and I can think I can control this thing. It's small. This thing is manageable. But you allow it inside to the gate, and that thing will grow. That thing will go and it'll call others after it. And it'll become something greater than what I ever bargained for. So is tampering with the Word of God, with doctrine, with godliness and holiness and making adjustments and trying to water things down a little bit here and there in my life. Folks, it's not about a minister standing up saying, "Don't do that. Get that out of your home." It's about me having the desire of my heart to say, "Lord, I don't want anything to get in the way." You know, harmless things can cause harm. There can be things that I spend so much of my time on that in and of itself may be something that's harmless. But if I allow that thing an improper place in my heart and life, it'll begin to choke me spiritually. It'll begin to choke off the spiritual nutrition that I should be getting, the time that I should be spending with the Lord, the desire that I should have for the Lord, and the love that I have for Him. It'll begin affecting that thing. The enemy and the world have so many things to offer us that'll numb our minds and numb our hearts, so that I come to service and I can't even get my mind into it. I'm just cold. And it's not only about feelings and emotions, but Lord, help me that I be in a place that I not allow things to come in that begin to choke off my love for the Lord. Little things. Beware this morning. I want to leave us with that challenge and exhortation. Beware and be cautious of the little things. The little foxes that would come in and spoil the vine. Those little things that would work their way into our minds and our hearts with such subtlety. Almost unnoticed. Almost unobserved. That's the way the enemy would prefer to work. Where I don't even notice what he's doing until it's too late. Until it comes to the point that there's nothing left but an empty shell. There's nothing left of life, of godliness. The Lord is calling every one of us today to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, flourishing and abounding and bringing forth fruit of righteousness. You pray for me. Amen.